Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God.
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation?
Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb?
This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Matthew chapter number 1, and I want to try to build on some thoughts that I just touched really on one this morning, and that was grace. We're talking about the power of Christmas. And we talked about grace this morning. We talked a little bit about the meaning of the genealogy and the miracle of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The meaning, of course, is that Jesus was born. God could have just appeared, but he didn't. He came through the womb of a virgin woman by the name of Mary. The song was just saying about that. And the genealogy is followed through here, right here in the book of Matthew. And there's a lot of great teaching that could come out of this genealogy. If there's one thing that we get out of the first 17 verses of Matthew, it's the grace of God. God in His grace allowed man to be a part of Him sending His Son through the Virgin Mary. Now I want to pick up with the second thing, and that is, I want to talk to you a little bit about goodness. All right, now this Christmas season, your goodness is going to be tested, and my goodness is going to be tested. We're going to be tested. We're going to get around people that, well, they try our patience, and they challenge us. They challenge our goodness. We call them family. No. Amen. We're going to be around people that, if we're not careful, we will allow them to bring out the worst in us when God intends to bring out the best in us. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what to do when you're challenged. I think there's some great lessons here. And even as late as this afternoon, as I was just kind of looking through my notes and kind of revisiting things that was in my heart and in my mind, I thought of so many things here in this occasion, in this account of the goodness of this situation with Joseph and Mary. And I want to share a few thoughts with you. Now, when we hear of any kind of relationship in the Bible, it could be Ruth and Boaz. It could be Isaac and Rebekah. It could be any number, Abraham and Sarah, even if they're old age. But when we hear about it, it's in particular, Joseph and Mary, somehow the world has so romanticized that relationship that we think, you know, that must have been just a wonderful, carefree, you know, no tension. Everything just went smooth for them. But, you know, really, when you study the scripture, it was quite the contrary, wasn't it? I mean, they encountered things that I'm uncertain that many, many people, even among church-going people, really understand all that they encountered and how that God used it to bring out goodness, to allow their character to shine. I was talking with a couple this morning and they were sharing with me some things that they were going through. And I reminded them, listen, they already knew. I just reminded them, you know, sometimes God uses bad things and situations in our lives to bring out goodness. We should count it all joy when God allows these things because we know that God's at work in our lives. You know, it's not just enough to say when we get a big, huge blessing. You know, well, God's at work in my life. How do you know? Well, I just got a huge raise at work. Amen. And so many times that's the way people view God at work in their life. But can I tell you, the same God that's at work in your life when you got that huge raise at work, he could be at work in your life when you got that bad news at the doctor's office. You understand that? See, the same God, and he could be working it all together. And the Bible teaches that all things work together for the good, you see, to we who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Now, we're not as apt to see God's goodness in the hard times and in the trying times as we are in the good times and the blessing times. However, God knows what we need and God knows what needs to happen in order to bring out what He wants to bring out in our lives. Now, let's look at this situation. There's just a few truths that I want to give you because I've got other things I want to say, but there's a lot in here. I mean, a lot. Let's look at it. Goodness, okay? The power of goodness. It works. The power of goodness. Now, the power of grace gets us in the family of God. The power of goodness will help us to make an impact for the kingdom of God. All right? Look at what the scripture says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused. Would you underline that word? Now here's a word that we no longer use in our time. We have another word. And the word that we use is when a young man is in love with a young lady and she's in love with him, he'll buy her a ring and he'll say, I want you to be mine, and they become what we call engaged. Now that word espouse, or the espousal stage, in the eastern part of the country in this day, espousal meant engaged. It was the first of three steps in the marriage situation and relationship. Now oftentimes, and you may be totally against this, and that's okay, but this is the way God had it set up, and this is the way they did in the Eastern culture. Oftentimes, the young man and the young woman had absolutely nothing to do with their espousal. They were chosen by their parents. It was an arrangement at an early age that they were going to be together. They did not put such important decisions in the hands of some emotional trite decision because they knew that marriage was for a lifetime. And so this espousal could have been prearranged. I do not know. I'm not saying that it was, but I do know in this age there was many, many espousals that were prearranged that way. Now after the espousal came what's called the betrothal. All right? Now when they were betrothed, they were considered man and wife. And I'm going to show you what the scripture says about that here in just a moment. They were considered man and wife even though they were not legally married because the marriage ceremony had not taken place. However, if they were going to break off this engagement and they were going to break off this betrothal, then it was going to take the writing of divorce or the writing of divorcement. And in order to do that, well, then there had to be a just cause. And that's why some of this wording is as it is. And I needed to lay that foundation for you to see that there's three stages. The espousal, that's engagement. And then there's the betrothal. And usually after 1 year of being betrothed, then there was the marriage ceremony where a man and a woman carried out the act of marriage and the beauty of sexual love. Okay? Now, they did not before that time. They remained pure. Even though they were betrothed, they did not carry out the normal procedures and the normal activity of a husband and wife. Joseph and Mary were in stage two. They were betrothed. Now, if you'll notice what the scripture says in verse number 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused." They had already been engaged, and now they had gone beyond that, and they were in the betrothal. And that's why the scripture says, let's see. "Then Joseph," verse number 19, "her husband." See, they were not married. Though in the betrothal state, they were considered man and wife, but the marriage ceremony had not taken place. Okay? So they had not been intimate. It's just different than what we know it today. However, let me say this while we're here. You want to do what's right. Listen, I don't care if you're engaged and your wedding date is next week. You stay pure until he says and she says, "I do." Amen. That's the Bible way. Now, I'm not going to do it the Bible way. Well, then you're going to pay a price. Maybe emotional. Maybe spiritual. But there's a price to pay when disobedience is carried out from God's word and the Bible. So I wanted to show you that this was the relationship between a young, responsible man named Joseph and a young, responsible young lady named Mary. Let's look at the goodness here. You get the picture? Young man loves young lady. They've been espoused. Don't know how long, possibly from the time of their childhood. And then they become betrothed. There's going to be a one-year period of betrothal, and then there's going to be a marriage. And listen, every young lady, whether she lives in the East or the West, she's always got this dream wedding and this dream life. And every young man, you know, he's looking for that ideal woman. And I think we have a picture of it right here. And so they have this thing of, okay, this is the way it's going to be. Right? This is the way it's going to be. Now, I think we all can identify with this in some way. In some way, we can identify with this. We all have in our minds the way we think it's going to be. Actually, this week and some into next week, we have in our mind the way Christmas is going to be. And if it doesn't go that way, we're going to get a little discouraged. Maybe even some will get depressed because it doesn't happen the way we think it should happen. Because we've got all of these things conjured in our mind and planned out, and we've got them all pictured. Boy, it's going to be this way, and it's going to be that way, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And when it doesn't, well, we get a little discouraged and we get a little despondent. Well, this is what was going on. Espoused. Arranged. Betrothal. Looking toward the marriage. Waiting for just time to elapse. They're in love with one another, and then all of a sudden, Mary gives Joseph the news. "I'm with child." Now, Joseph has some decisions to make, and I want you to follow what he does. Now, God intentionally worded this so that we could see the character of the man that he chose to oversee his son. See, much is made of Mary, and it should be, okay? Listen, she was pure, she was God's chosen vessel, and much was made of her. But I'm gonna tell you, it was just as important, and in some ways more so, of who God chose to oversee the protecting and the providing for and the nourishing of his upbringing of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he chose a man of great character to do that, Joseph. Now let's see. It pays to be good. It pays to be good. Watch what the scripture says. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together. See that? It's before marriage, before they were intimate. They were espoused. They had the betrothal before they came together. The Bible says that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And you can get the story over in Luke, how the angel appeared to Mary and told her, and she pondered on these things. And I mean, she was troubled. Now, you could imagine why. There was a day, and I think it ought to be this way today. Now, it's not. There was a day when it would have been shameful for a young lady to become pregnant outside of wedlock. Shameful. Can I tell you, whether your neighbor thinks it is or not, whether your counselor down at the school thinks it is or not, whether the church that some attend thinks it is or not, whether some preacher thinks it is or not, it is still shameful to be with child before you're married. That's shameful. It's a disgrace. That doesn't mean a person can't be saved. But it means that they've broken the clear commandment of God. You say, preacher, do you despise people that have gotten pregnant or with child outside of wedlock? Don't despise them at all. But they have broken a clear commandment of God's word. And we cannot endorse that in any way. We can love people. Amen. We can reach out and try to minister to people. But we in no way pat them on the shoulder and say, oh, that's okay. There's no harm done. Well, sure there is. You've broken a clear commandment of the Word of God. Amen. That doesn't make us bad people. That makes us Bible believers. And so before we confuse goodness with enablement and covering sin, let's get the record straight. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what public opinion says, it's wrong. And so here's a situation where the community, now here's the flip side of it, where the community is going to see one thing, but they're going to see something that's not so. And this is where we have to be careful. Get the picture. This little small town that Mary's from soon is going to get wind. Have you heard? What? Mary. She's expecting. You don't say. Yeah, she is. Mary. No. Yes. No. Yes. Mary. Joseph? He said it's not, but come on, I mean, hey, right? You say, well, preacher, now we would never do that. Yeah, I know. I see the halos all over the congregation. Amen. We would never engage in that kind of gossip. Well, sure you would. We've all got involved in those kind of things. Some things just take us by surprise. Could you imagine in the little town where, I mean, they were talking, Mary is with the child. She's even left Joseph. Read over in Luke where the Bible says that when Mary heard about the situation, that she went to her cousins. She went to Elizabeth's house where Zechariah the priest was, and she stayed there for a while. And that's when Joseph had time to ponder some things in his heart. And I'm glad that God used that time of aloneness and quietness to speak to Joseph's heart. Now, you want to do what's right? I do. It's good to spend some time alone. It's good to be quiet and to withdraw from the situation and allow God to give you perspective on the situation. Now watch it closely, okay? So Mary goes to Joseph and she says, got some good news and I've got some bad news. Well, give me the good news first. Okay. The good news is we're betrothed. We're going to be married before long. Amen. Come here, honey. That's great stuff. Wait a minute. The bad news is I got a visit from an angel and he says that I'm with child, and that thing that is within me is of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's what most men would say. Mary, are you crazy? What? Are you expect me to believe that? You got to do better than this, Mary. Now listen, Joseph probably had known Mary. The reason I went back through the whole spasm, he had probably known Mary. I can't prove this from the scripture. He had probably known Mary all of his life. And he knew something's not adding up here. She's a woman of sterling character. She's a fine young lady. This is not adding up. Mary, are you sure? Well, I took one of those tests. No, she didn't say that. Amen. 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 All Joseph had to go on was Mary's word. You know, sometimes, listen to me, men. Sometimes all you'll have to go on is your wife's word. Is that good enough for you? If it's not, you hadn't been spending enough time with your wife. Something's not right. Right? You listening? Sometimes all you'll have to go on is what she says. And ladies, it ought to be to when you tell your husband it's this way, it doesn't matter if it sounds like something like this, he ought to say, okay. Okay. So we understand the situation, right? All right. So the scripture says that Mary now tells Joseph. And Joseph, listen, I'm going to tell you, Joseph, and don't you throw stones at Joseph. Joseph was angry. Joseph was disappointed. Joseph had all kinds of emotion running through his being. Now, I've learned something in my 56 years of living, okay? Now, I've actually learned more than something. I've learned a few things. But one of the things that I've learned, and I haven't mastered it, but I've learned it. When emotions are running deep, it is not good to react, number one. Number two, it's not good to make a concrete decision when things are just going in a lot of different directions. It's not good. Say amen with me now. Young people, listen to me very carefully right here. When things are just... You can't in any way conceive what you just saw or heard. Do not make a decision. Do not fly off the handle. Do not go in deep right there. Don't do it. Back off a little bit. Give yourself time to regroup and think it through. God sent Mary to Elizabeth's house. You read Luke chapter 1 and 2. Listen to me now. Mary didn't know what was going on. She was disturbed. And Joseph, she talked to Joseph, and then she went to Elizabeth with Zechariah so that she could calm herself down and talk with Elizabeth. But the scripture says that Joseph was there and that God was going to use this time. Now, Joseph, his initial reaction was, look what the scripture says. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, what does that mean? That means that Joseph, you know what a just man does? Right. Listen to me now. Don't miss this. A just man does right. You know what America needs? Just men. Amen. Just men do right. Just men do not do what their emotion tells us. See, Joseph's emotion says, I love that woman. I've lived my life for that woman. I want to marry that woman. She's with child, but I love her. I'm going to marry her. I don't care what God says. I don't care what Daddy said. I don't care what the neighbors think. I'm going to marry her. That's the way an unjust man responds. I'll tell you the way a just man does. God said it's wrong. And regardless of how much I love her, and regardless of what it's going to do, I've got to go with God. God said it's not right. Amen. God said this wouldn't be right for me. Undoubtedly, Mary has done the unthinkable. Undoubtedly, Mary has done something that is unconscionable to me. I don't understand why. I don't even understand how. But I've got to do the right thing. Is that what the Bible said? Look at it now. Verse number 20. 19, I'm sorry. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph said, I got to do the right thing here. I got to follow the law of God. And the law of God said that if she's committed adultery, that I can't have her as my wife. I've got to give her the bill of divorcement that Moses wrote out. That would break off our engagement and would break off this stage in the betrothal period. I can't follow through with this. But Joseph, you love her. Yeah, I know. But I can't make an emotional decision. I got to do what's right. I got to do what God said. You know, sometimes it would do us men and women good to understand that we don't follow our emotions through life. You follow your emotions through life, you get in trouble. I'm going to say that again. You follow your emotions through life, you get in trouble. Follow the commandments. Obey God. Do what God said, whether it feels good or not. And sometimes, whether we want to or not, stay with God. Do what God said. And you can never go wrong. Never. Now, Joseph said, I'm going to put her away. But now here's where the goodness comes in, okay? Joseph could have taken her down before the city and said, hey, this woman has committed adultery. She's with child, and I'm not the father of that child. And he could have made a public example of her and willfully ruined her testimony and reputation. But Joseph was a good guy. You say, well, preacher, I'm a good guy too. Well, let's see. Who are we going to choose tonight? I don't know. Brother Eddie looks like he wants me to choose him. So here's Eddie and Mary many years ago. And Mary comes to Eddie and she says, honey, I know we're in love and we're engaged to be married, but I got to tell you, I'm with child and it's not yours. And Eddie's going to say, come here and give me a big old hug. This is great news. I want to do everything I can to make you comfortable. And I in no way want to blemish your character or reputation. But did you know that's what Joseph did? Look at what the scripture says. Oh, he was disappointed, but he was not resentful. You want to be a good person? You've got to learn what it is not to be resentful in life. You got to be forgiving. You got to learn what it is to forgive people. You've got to learn that you don't know all the story. Every stone has not been unturned. Oh, you think it has. You think it has. How many times in my life have I thought, I know all the story? Every stone's unturned. I've got the bead on this. I've got the story. I didn't. And I done the wrong thing. Joseph was a man of wisdom. He said, you know what? I'm going to take the high road. You want to be a good person? You want to experience the power of goodness? Learn what it is in every situation, whether you're in top or bottom, whether it's for you or against you. Learn what it is to take the high road. Say amen with me now. Take the high road. You won't have to look back and regret and say, I made a fool of myself. I was a big dummy. Why did I do that? You don't have to do that if you'll just take the high road. Now, Joseph did that. Look at verse number 19. Joseph, he was a just man, and that's why he was not willing to make her a public example, even though he was minded to put her away. He said, I'm going to do it privily. I'm going to give her a writing of divorcement. Listen, you study. Look over in Deuteronomy now, 23, 24. This is written there. I'm telling you, this is what the law said for Joseph to do, and because he was a just man, he was going to do what the word of God said. But he wasn't going to do it all piously and holier than thou and try to exact revenge and resentment on Mary. How dare you do me that way? You know why? Because he knew something about the power of goodness. He said, I'm going to do this. But I'm not going to do this. There's no need. There's going to be shame enough. Every tongue in the little town of Nazareth and Galilee is going to wag because of this. I don't need to pile on her. Amen. So we go over and we look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, I like that. Remember when I said don't let emotions get away with you? I'm talking to you about the power of goodness. Don't let your emotions get away from you. Sometimes it's good to remove yourself from the situation. When I was a younger man, I didn't understand the importance of this. And again, I'm not saying that I've mastered this. God's taught me some things. Some people, I've allowed some people to teach me some things. I've allowed experience to teach me some things. And I'm asking you to do the same. When your emotions are all riled, and when things have taken a downward swing, and when things don't look good on the home front, that's not a time to jump in there and roll up the sleeves and say, we're going to battle. Hey, it's good to back up, think things through, get a hold of God, and follow His direction. Joseph backed up, and he began, the Bible says in verse number 20, think on these things. You doing the right thing? Well, I think I am. You know, God's word says do this. I think I should follow through with this. You following me? You may not be in this situation, but I will grant you in life, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have to remove yourself from it, think it through and say, now what is the biblical thing to do? What's the right thing for me to do? Not what's the emotional thing, not what's best for me, not what's best for them, not what's going to make me look this way or them look that way. What is the biblical thing? Hey, we're people of God. People of God seek what the Bible says to do about things, and then they do it. Amen. Come on now. Amen. The power of goodness. It's missing. It's missing. You want to impact somebody's life? Let them see something like this. And they'll step back and say, now there is a man of God. There is a family of God. There is a woman of God. The Bible says in verse number 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. You know, I love that. Here's God reminding him now, son, you're taking the high road, stay on it. Right? What do you mean? Thou son of David. Hey, you're of royal lineage. You're a child of the king, son. Act like it. I'm a child of the king too. You're a child of the king too. Regardless of what people say and do, we need to act like it. Amen. We need to be good. We need to show the power of goodness. Though everything around us is crumbling and falling apart, this world needs to see that God's people are good people. That we don't crumble and fall in exact vengeance and resentment every time things don't go our way. And we shake our nubby fingers, I'll get even with you if it's the last thing I do. Well, that's not the way a Christian responds. That's not being a good person. That's not being godly. No, Joseph thought on these things, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and he reminded him who he was. Joseph, you're a son of the king. You have royalty. I'm just a carpenter's son. Perhaps there's someone out in the congregation tonight saying, I'm just a this, I'm just a that. Yeah, I know. And you're a child of the king if you're saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. God was reminding him, they're watching you, son. Who would watch me, God? I'm just a lowly carpenter in Nazareth. And they mock my town. They say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They mock and they scoff and they laugh. They're just gonna yoke me up and to the rest of this little hick town and say, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. They're watching you, boy. They're watching you. And they're watching you too. And they're watching me too. And they want to know. Is this thing about living for God, does that count all the time? Does that count even when things don't go right for you? Does that count when things fall apart? Does that count when she comes home with bad news? Does that count when your children leave and go out in the world and live for the devil? Listen to me. Does that count when the boss man hands you the pink slip? Does that count when they turn your power and your water off? Does that count when they come and tow your car off? Does that count when the doctor says you've got a short time to live? Does it count then? Yes, it counts then. God is counting on us to do the right thing all the time. And we can do it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can exact goodness. We're to do good, the Bible says. We're to let our good works be seen of men, and it glorifies our God, which is in heaven. Well, as he thought on these things, he was dreaming. And the Bible says that this angel appeared and said, Joseph, thou son of David, take not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He confirmed her story. You know, when we wait on God, God will give us the rest of the story. Remember, what was that fellow's name? Somebody help me out. Paul Harvey. Thank you for helping me out. Paul Harvey, remember he said, and that's the rest of the story. If we'll wait on God, I can't say when, but I can tell you God will give you the rest of the story. If you'll just wait on him. Joseph didn't fly into it and say, well, I know what's happening. I know what's going on, and I'm going to act on that. He pondered some things. He thought on some things. God spoke to him, and God gave him the rest of the story. And now Joseph is ready. All right? Now Joseph doesn't have to go back and visit all of his neighbors and say, hey, listen, I come over here and I said some things about Mary and I just want to apologize. I think I'm going to stay with her after all. Amen? Right? You say, well, preacher, I've never had to do that. Yeah, I know. You just fly off and just start saying things and then in 24, 48, 72 hours you have to go back and say, well, maybe, you know, it's not as bad as I said. You know, because you acted on emotion. And I acted on emotion, and we need to just get along with God and let God minister to us and work through us. Well, let me give you a couple of more things here, okay? Then the scripture says that that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, he confirmed her story. So here we have some things about Joseph. The power of goodness. He waited on God and God gave him the rest of the story. And well, as they say, the rest is history. Amen. So don't ever underestimate the power of goodness in a good man. God knew what he was doing when he chose this man. Don't you think that Mary was so important that Joseph wasn't important. God knew who he was choosing here. He knew he had a man of character, a man of resilience, a man that would hunker down and not just fly off. God knew what kind of man he had, and it was important. Now, God knows what kind of man he's got in you, too. And God knows what kind of man he has in me. And he wants to use us. But in order to do that, we've got to follow some of these leads. All right, number one, the power of goodness. So we've seen the power of grace. All right? We've seen the power of goodness. Let's look in verse number 21, and we go from the power of grace and the power of goodness to the power of the gospel. The Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, essentially what the Bible's saying, then Joseph did what God told him to do. That's essentially what the scripture said. Then Joseph did what God told him to do. Do you do what God tells you to do? You want to be good? You want to be able to give the gospel in a way that makes an impact in people's lives? You got to do what God says do. You can't just do what you want to do and then give the gospel and impact people's lives. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Notice what the scripture says here. Matter of fact, I want you to do this sometime on your own. Go through and find when God speaks to Joseph, watch what Joseph does. He does what God says to do. You ought to follow through. Just quickly, you can look over just quickly over in chapter number 2 and look, if you would, in verse number 13. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed from Egypt. Joseph did what God said to do. And if you'll go over to chapter number 2, toward the end of it, and just keep following Joseph's life, God said do something, Joseph did it. God said do something, Joseph did it. It's important to do what God says to do. Joseph had patterned his life that way. He thought things through. He made decisions based on the Word of God and not emotion. And therefore, he was able to exact and to give out goodness in a way that it impacted people's lives. And we're talking about it hundreds, thousands of years later. All right? Now, let's talk about the power of the gospel. This week, you're going to hear, and I'm going to be through here in about 5 minutes. So I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to talk faster and you listen faster. This week, inevitably, you're going to hear a conversation that will go something like this. Who is that baby? It may be on the Learning Channel. Maybe on the History Channel. It may be on NBC. Who is that little baby? Oh, they're going to have some guy that looks kind of like this, and he's going to have his tie around, and his hair's going to be all messed up, and I can't mess my hair up. Doesn't mean that much to me. And he's going to say, well, I'm glad you asked that. At Christmas time, we all wonder, who was that babe? Well, he was a good baby. He was a good man. He was a good teacher, they say. Oh, he went about doing good. And on these left-wing, loose-wheel liberals give their explanation of who Jesus is. But let me tell you, I can't tell you all that they would say, but I'll tell you what they will not say. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is Emmanuel. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. You'll not hear them say that. You won't hear them say that. They'll say everything but that. Meredith and I were talking yesterday, and she said, you know, I'm getting tired of these country singers singing about Jesus. She said, they want to take out everything about his deity. And I said, you're right, honey. You're right. They just want to, listen, the Carrie Underwoods of the world, oh, I like Carrie Underwood, preacher. You shouldn't say that. Well, I'm getting ready to, so brace yourself. These folks, listen to me. These folks that sing that garbage, listen, they want to take everything about the lordship of Jesus out, the deity of Christ. Amen. They'll sing those songs, but you won't hear them saying anything about salvation. Jesus is Lord. Listen, we're sinners. They take all that out. They change the words. They skip it, and they still try to make it a Christmas hymn. Blah! Don't like it. Sing it like it was written. Sing it like Charles Wesley wrote it. Amen! Sing it the way that it should be sang. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Jesus is the Son of the living God. That's who he is. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing less than God with us. Jesus is the Savior of mankind. The Savior. The power of the gospel. Don't water it down now. Don't water it down. Oh, preacher, we got to water it down to reach them. No, you don't either. I'm going to tell you how I got it. Straight and strong, and that's the way I needed it. How did you get it? I've watched the folks that latch on. Amen. I've watched the folks that kind of get settled, established. It's those that got it straight and strong. The pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important. It's important. Don't water it down. Well, he might have been God. No, he was God. He is God. Well, it's possible that he was born of a virgin. No, he was born of a virgin. The power of the gospel. As we close tonight, I want to give you one more. The power of gratitude. This is the final. So we've got the power of grace. Nothing. Nothing. It's too outlandish. Too sinful for God's grace. Grace greater than all of our sin. Amen. Grace, brethren. It's grace. And then goodness. Do the right thing. Think things through. Don't act on your feelings and your emotions. Act upon what thus saith the Lord. The power of the gospel. Jesus is everything he says he is. If he's not, he's the world's greatest imposture. He's either all that he says he is or he's an imposture. What's he to you? Either Jesus Christ is Lord or the Bible's a fable. Listen, brethren, I mean that. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is Lord. He's God. And thank God he's our soon coming King. And then gratitude. The power of gratitude. You know, the power of thank you is a powerful thing. It is. You can watch little children and see how it impacts their lives when they learn what it is to be grateful. You can read chapter 2, and I'll not do it, but you know this story, how the wise men came and they were seeking him. Why? To tell him thank you. We want to give you something. We want to worship you, and you'll find them worshiping him over here in chapter 2 and verse 11. They fell down and they worshiped him, and they were adoring him, and they were saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's power in gratitude. This Christmas season, as we're thinking about the power of Christmas, let's think about the power of grace. God's grace can save the Tamars and the Rahabs and the Bathshebas, but it can also save the Davids and the Abrahams of the world. Amen? God's grace. Listen, where sin did abound, I'm so thankful to God, grace did much more abound. And then there's the power of goodness. Take the high road. Do the right thing. Follow God's word. The power of the gospel. Jesus is Lord. You give people the word of God and it will go to work in their lives. Memorize scripture. When you begin to witness and testify to people, tell them what God's done in your life. It's powerful. That worked for Paul. Amen, the apostle. And then the power of gratitude. Be thankful. Teach your children to be thankful. One of the things that will be heartbreaking this Christmas season, you can stand to your feet, is when families get together and little children come in the room and they start tearing open gifts and they toss them to the side and tear something up and toss it to the side and tear something else and toss it to the side. Don't allow that to take place in your home. Don't allow that to take place in your home. Teach your children to be thankful. Teach them to be thankful. The greatest way you can teach them to be thankful is to show them how to be thankful. You be thankful. Be thankful to God. Be thankful to others for what God is doing in your life. The pianist is going to come. The power of gratitude. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's bow our heads together.